Hello and welcome to another edition of the Final Siren Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Williams, and once again, I'm joined by AFL Draft Editor, Michael Alvaro. Michael, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. Obviously, all the men's and pathway football is wrapped up, so it's good to be here, and I guess we're all waiting for draft time now.
Absolutely. It's quite a huge time. I know for a lot of the footballers, it's a massive time. Quite a few of them have year 12 exams, things like that coming up. Of course, we've got a testing event coming up this weekend. So though the on-field action's now done and dusted, there's still some off-field to get done. Testing, obviously, they're going to have club interviews, things like that at the testing and leading right up to the
plenty
draft.
Plenty of media too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we're going to be there and have a nice little chat to quite a few of the prospects and we'll reveal those in the coming podcast, which will be really exciting. So without further ado, basically what we're going to run through today is the power rankings that Michael released during the week on Monday night. So we know that, you know, extended out to 40, you had quite a few extra prospects. We had a lot of questions and answers about it, so we'll dive right into those. But yeah, basically we're going to get stuck straight into it and just work through all your questions. So here we go.
Sounds good.
You're listening to the Final Siren Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Williams, and I'm here with Michael Alvaro, the man behind the power rankings. So, what we're going to do now is have a bit of an expose on your power rankings here on YouTube, Michael. So, first up, list out to 40. Obviously, it's been 30, and originally at the start of the year was 20, so we've slowly got it out. It'll get to 50 in November, but right now it's 40. How'd you sort of find it?
It's always pretty difficult, but I think we sat here last month and it was probably more of a challenge then to sort of scrounge out 30 or 40 players, but I think I'm a bit more comfortable with them now and having seen them over the course of a whole year with the national championships back, it was a bit easier perhaps to sort of stretch that list out and nail down, I guess, the prospects that I rate in those slots. So yeah, it's always a bit of fun, but it tests me for sure.
Absolutely. We're going to obviously go from the top and then work our way down. We'll start with the top two. Look, as per usual, Will Ashcroft, George Wardlaw, not much changes there. Will Ashcroft keeps winning awards, and unfortunately for George Wardlaw, he's still sidelined. So that's as per usual, but give us a bit of rundown into them and obviously perhaps the top six that sort of are thereabouts.
Yeah, well, I think, as you say, those two are probably the standouts, Will Ashcroft and George Wardlaw. It's just that thing that, you know, had Wardlaw played, would he have perhaps pushed for that number one mantle? I guess we'll never know. But look, I think they are the two standouts for sure. And then there's a really even group behind them with four players. The ones that we have ranked there are, of course, Elijah Sardis, Harry Sheasel, Aaron Cadman and Jai Clark. They're all quite different prospects, so it's pretty difficult to, I guess, rank one in front of the other or justify why one falls below. So the order we fell with was Sardis, Cadman, Sheasel, Clark, but that's changed throughout the year, so I think they're a pretty tight-knit group, and even the rest of the top 10, they all have a bit about them, and again, they're all quite different players, so it's pretty tricky to, I guess, get that list out and nail it down.
Yeah, we see quite a few midfielders or mid-forwards in Sheasel's case. A lot of midfielders throughout the group, but quite a few that can play forward. The two key position players, you mentioned Cadman. The other one, Jed Buslinger, who's obviously been injured as well. So he's in that last four group, if you like, with Cam McKenzie, Mateus Philippou, and Bailey Humphrey. Again, there's some similarities between, well, particularly the last two, but give us a rundown into what your, I guess, decision behind positioning those the way they were.
Yeah, so Humphrey is the real hurt factor kind of player. I think him, Philippou as well, who I bumped up to 8, and then McKenzie went down to 9. They're all those mid-forwards, I guess. McKenzie's probably the more pure midfielder. Humphrey we saw play a lot, I guess, out of the goal square for Vic Country in his first game there, and Philippou's the hybrid. So I think the reason for Humphrey and Philippou getting bumped up, while McKenzie may be a bit more reliable and consistent. They're just that, I guess, the projection for them, because they've got that sort of really good athletic base, one in Humphrey being powerful and Philippou being that just sort of, you know, good aerial player who covers the ground really nicely. Yeah, that's the reason behind that ordering. And then Bustling, I guess I've just sort of stuck fat with. It's hard for a player who hasn't played a bit like Wardlaw to keep him, I guess, up in the top echelon of the draft class. But he proved himself. He even made the All-Australian team off just two games in the championship. So goes to show his class. And, yeah, I think for me, he's still the best key defender in it, and was at one point the best key position player earlier on in the year until Cadman came along. So, yeah.
Basically, of that group, pretty much all the ones that played full carnivals made all Australians. Obviously not Philippou, but the other ones, in terms of the ones who did play, you've got Ashcroft in there, which no surprise, like medalist. You've got Sheasel in there. You've got Clark in there. Cadman, of course, and Buslinger, as you mentioned, and McKenzie at half forward. So they all made it. Which is a strong All-Australian team, considering. Obviously, we would assume that if they'd played full carnivals, Wardlaw and Sardis would probably have made it in. Yeah. I reckon
Humphrey too, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably the way it is. But that's how we're looking in terms of the top 10. So we're going to move into the middle of the pack, where you've got a real mix. There's a few players you wanted to highlight. Jacob Constanti is one who moved from 18th to 15th. The exciting Gippy Power player, Lewis Hayes out of the Eastern Rangers, moved up five spots, 25 to 20. And Braden George, unfortunately, of course, out with that ACL, slid from 16 to 20th. So, yeah, a bit of a summary into that mid-tier group.
Yeah, it's pretty tight. I think most pundits and recruiters, perhaps, would have a relatively similar 10 to 12. But this is typically a range that's always a bit of a guessing game and a throw up and see how you go. But in terms of the players you mentioned there, Jacob Constanti just is such a jet. Like, he does everything 100%. I think he's a player in vogue. So those small forwards who can do a bit of everything, they kick goals, they pressure the opposition defensively, and he's good above his head as well for his size. He's sub 180, but can take a mark on the lead. So it's just really exciting. I think as a Carlton supporter, he's one that I go, okay, what's my club looking at? You know, does he fit a positional need? Yes. You know, does he have, I guess, the character and that drive on field as well? And he certainly does. So I think most clubs would really like to have him on the list. Lewis Hayes, probably the best key defender behind Buslinger, and he's the one who's played. So, you know, he's a solid one. His stats have looked really good throughout the year. So, you know, towards the draft, he may get taken towards the end of that first round. And you can see that in his ranking rise. And unfortunately for Braden George, as you mentioned, did his ACL just in his second game back. So it's hard to sort of keep your position when you're not playing, especially with others rising around you. And recruiters may see that sort of injury, obviously such a significant one, as a risk, because he's going to miss that first season. So that's, I guess, expressed in his ranking.
Obviously, we'll touch on injuries later, but we do know that there's quite an impact in terms of, I guess, long-term injuries, potentially where they go. Some slide, some still remain high if they're top prospects. So it's an interesting discussion to have. Mm. Was a great question we got, so we'll get to that after. But what we're going to look at now is we're going to look at how it went out to 40, the list. So there's quite a few fresh faces coming in for either the first time, including one that returns, who is in the initial list. But we'll start off sort of one by one. Charlie Clark at 30th. He comes in, obviously, into that, I guess, top 30, what it was. Mm. So, yeah, give us a rundown into him.
Yeah, exciting player. Just plays with a great intensity, a bit like Constanti in that sense, that he really goes. So can kick goals, can play midfield as well. So he's got that sort of string to his bow where he can find the ball, but also I think he is most dangerous inside 50. Just a really instinctual player and one who's fun to watch. He loves the big moments, and fans will really enjoy having him at the top level, hopefully.
Yeah. And then looking at the next three, you got the Oakley Chargers trio, but just looking down the team list.
Yeah.
Yeah, just sort of, I guess you can sort of give a shout out to all three of them summarise what they sort of do and where they play and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the modern day version of the Footy Factory Oakley. They like to tell you how they've got a really good group of draftables, and they do. So to be fair, this group here, I'll touch on each of them individually. The first one being Max Krzyzewski, who came in at number 31. You know, we've seen Josh Weddle rise into sort of top 20 contention. He's in the mid-20s, I think, in my rankings. But yeah, just a swingman who was really exciting in that Country Metro game. You got to see it up close, obviously, at ground level, taking photos of his big marks and two goals early in the game. But yeah, just that sort of exciting, developable player who just has a lot of good traits. So he's up the order. Blake Drury is one who's been around the mark for the whole year. We know how good he can be. He's probably, I guess, a little man who plays a big man's game at times. And he's one definitely in that wild card round loss who really stepped up and embraced the moment when his side needed it. Unfortunately, they fell short. But yeah, his sort of driving factor going forward, the way he gets involved in scores and can hit the scoreboard himself, really, really valuable as a mid forward. I think he'll be a high half forward at the next level. And then Luke Teal at number 34, another Oakley product, obviously. And I guess a prototype kind of athlete, plays behind the ball, can play up on the wing, maybe even in midfield going forward. Really big body and just covers the ground beautifully, can compete in the air at ground level. So does a bit of everything, and that's why he's up at number 34. Could have been higher had he played a full season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Exciting player. Glad he got to return. We've had a bit of that throughout the season with injuries for various players, particularly out of that Oakley team. They've had had a bit of bad luck from their top enders. We'll move outside Victoria for something different for you. Over to number 35, you had Sam Gilbey over in WA. Give us a rundown into him.
Yeah, well, a bit like Luke Teal in that he's had just a wretched run of injuries. So he's another defender, just really silky skills. I think that's his best trait. His kicking on that left foot's really stylish and pretty classy. He looked to be hitting a bit of his top form when he eventually got to represent Western Australia. Unfortunately, he broke his leg when he got back into the Claremont Colts team, and that'll probably interrupt his preseason. And yeah, I mean, you think he still gets picked up? We've got him rated 35. I think a lot of clubs could even have him higher than that. But yeah, we probably didn't get to see the best of him. I think this one's definitely one on upside and potential. But yeah, we know his class given he's an AFL Academy member and whatnot. Yeah, really, really good player to watch.
Yep. And of course, not to be confused with Jason Gilbey, spelled differently, but we've got two Gilbeys this draft class. Number 36, we see a returnee, and this is one for the Bomber fans. I reckon we get so many questions about him and Owen Davey, but Anthony Mankara, obviously NT prospect, played at West Adelaide. You know, give us a bit of a rundown into what he offers, because I do know he was originally in that first round discussion early in the year, and then obviously didn't quite go to plan, I guess, that first champs game, and then, yeah, it sort of petered off.
Yeah, I mean, just hasn't played that much high-level footy, so he's played two games at Sandford under-18s level. Obviously, as you say, that one Allies outing, and that didn't really go his way. It was a bit quiet for the most part of that game. The one that stands out, though, is the AFL Academy outing. So he was just so exciting from the warm-up to in-game where he's, you know, fending off Arlo Draper, an AFL-listed player. He can do some unbelievable things on the field. I think his talent is a lot better than the number 36 ranking suggests. He could be so much better. It's just a matter of enhancing, I guess, his all-round game. You know, he was playing, just to give a measure of his athleticism, and raw potential, he was playing in the ruck for Westminster College at times, like grabbing the ball from centre bounces, taking bounces forward and then kicking goals. Like, he can do some unbelievable things, but yeah, again, it's just a matter of finding consistency and ironing out some of his deficiencies and getting into the elite system. So I was tempted, actually, you mentioned Bombers fans, to put him at 39 just for a bit of dramatic effect, but yeah, that they'll probably be sweating come draft time, I'd say, on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an interesting time. They could even try and do some deals, you know, to potentially take him outright if they're that keen, if they think that someone's going to take him. Moving on to 37, Harry Rowston. Now, I think this might be one that people bring up and ask, why at 37. Obviously, of the MVPs, he's sort of lowest down. We've got a couple that are in the top 10. And then obviously some others like Deloyer, who we spoke about last time, and whatnot, Gimby in the top 20. He's down at 37. So I guess give us a rundown into why he's potentially there and what really propelled him to win the MVP.
Yeah, I asked myself the same question, to be honest. Sometimes I sort of look down at that and go, oh, hang on, he's actually probably a bit better than that. It is a squeeze. I think generally in this month's ranking, it must have just been how I was feeling on the day, is that I went for those high upside players, the ones with the match-winning ability, the good athletic traits, things like that. Rouston's one that's just such a solid player. He's good across the board. He's really reliable. So, you know, maybe I was a bit bored of that on the day and decided to put him down the order. But look, he deserves a spot in the top 40 in my eyes. I think he could even be sort of a top 30 candidate just for his reliability. Obviously, a GWS Academy product. And, you know, when he linked up with the Calder Cannons, he looked pretty easily their best player, let's be honest. And they ended up playing a final. So, yeah, he's been good at all levels, helped Assumption College rather take out the AGSV title. So he's a winner, and yeah, just his ability to work hard in the midfield. He's worked on his deficiencies in that endurance space, and then hits the scoreboard when he jets forward and can take overhead marks. He's really gutsy. So there are some traits to like about him. But yeah, I've gone for, I guess, a bit of the hype ahead of him at this stage for these rankings.
Also known as the Victorians, by the looks of it. Moving on to number 38, just had to have the drive-by. We'll move on to a couple of South Australians, starting with number 38. We've spoken about injuries and whatnot. Jaden McGaugh, tell us a bit about him.
Yeah, out of South Adelaide, a mid-forward, really powerful. So he's another one that sort of fits the bill of some of the other guys we were talking about previously, where you know, he's got some good traits that'll hold him or serve him well at the top level. So like he got injured sort of at the start of the championships, and it was so untimely. But when he came back, he kicked, I think it was 11 goals in two games at the under-18s level. So yeah, he has that really high potential. It's just that, you know, like so many on this list and a few that we keep repeating in this sort of bracket, yeah, he just didn't play. But when he did, to be fair to him, and that's why he's there, he showed some really good upside. So, yeah, happy to have him up there. And we've had an eye on him for, you know, since he's under 16 year, I guess. So it's only natural that he still features, I guess.
Yeah. And number 39, this player, if you'd said he was going to be at number 39 at this stage of the draft last year, I reckon, yeah, we would have been asking if you felt okay. But Harry Lemmy, West Adelaide, came in as a potential top five prospect, really. Probably the key position player to watch coming into the year, along with, you know, Isaac Kilo, who's with him and whatnot. Obviously, we know Cadman's sort of overtaken a lot of them. But yeah, he makes it into the rankings, but only just.
Yeah, I almost forgot about him, to be honest. I mean, he's he was such a high-end prospect, as you say, and it's easy to forget that. But yeah, again, he just struggled with, I guess, that consistency at the start of the year. Had COVID and injuries, and just couldn't get his confidence, albeit, you know, he's playing league level. So it's a pretty tough ask for a kid, and not many have done that well. And that's why he was projected so highly. It's just that, you know, once he did hit the field and, yeah, he just couldn't recapture that form. So it's unfortunate for him. I still think he finds a home and gets drafted. And some clubs may have him higher. I think I'd like to see him be a bit more competitive. You have to have, you know, that mongrel about you if you're a key position player. And he has the size. It's just about really using it to his advantage. So, I mean, he could be a massive steal in that range, or he could live up to that range. So, yeah, we'll see how he goes.
Worth noting, too, he was at West Adelaide's league side, too, which, in fairness to them, they're not going through the best time. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, as a key forward, too, inside that, as a young key forward, yeah, there's a few on this list. You've mentioned a few of them that, realistically, if you're going purely on talent, then they're far higher than what they are. Yeah. But, yeah, it's talls are always hard to judge, and I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. Someone who's not a tall, Harvey Gallagher coming in at 40. I love this kid, so nothing against him.
Yeah.
Probably about my height, so quite like that.
He's got a couple centimetres.
Yeah, I know. I knew you were going to go with that, but let's move on. Yeah, Bendigo Pioneers, overager.
Yep.
Really exciting. Is he the first overager?
He's the only one.
Yeah. Only one. Yep. There you go. Yeah. Really enjoy watching him. He's really transformed his game. Like, he's looked good before, but playing as that defender who seems to kick more goals as a defender than he did as a forward,
yeah,
it's unique.
Absolutely it is. And like you said, I love this kid. Same. I just have thoroughly enjoyed watching him towards the back end of the year. And, you know, I remember speaking to his coach, Danny O'Brien, about the move and, you know, he takes credit for it and whatnot, but it has really been a masterstroke. So he's a player who sort of waxed as that mid forward in his bottom age and top age seasons. And, you know, just seeing his traits and then just testing out whether that's applicable to another position or role. That's what the pathway is all about. And we've uncovered, you know, a top 40 talent on the back of that. So it's really good to see. And just his running capacity, his ball use by foot, that ability to hit the scoreboard, they're all great traits for a running halfback. And yeah, he's one who I think will get drafted finally. And it's a great story. We see guys like Massimo D'Ambrosio mid-season. If Gallagher had played off halfback at the start of the season, he may have found himself, you know, being a mid-season draftee. So yeah, really happy to have him at the back of the 40.
Yeah, so as we said, that is the top 40 that we've gone through now. So the next sort of, I guess, aspect we're going to have to ask you about is those who are stiff to miss. So let's start with South Australia. Who you sort of have just on the fringe of the top 40?
Yeah, there's a few because I think South Australia, their team in general, or the state side, they had those top enders, but they had a few fall away as well. I think Max Michelani is a really solid one that I wanted to fit in, but probably just couldn't find a spot. He is still rated pretty highly. I think some clubs might have him in that top 30. But yeah, he's got some really nice traits as a taller running rebound defender who can lock down as well. So plenty of upside to him. Nick Sadler's one who was actually in our top 25 really early in the year. I like him as a pretty versatile, nimble midfielder. Can play forward. He's played all three sample grades this year. And the last one from South Australia is Billy Dowling. Maybe even a shout out to Kobe Ryan, a couple of midfielders who are quite different to each other. But Dowling's production, his numbers this year have been outstanding. And Kobe Ryan, yeah, he's played league level again in that West Adelaide side. So he's pretty handy. It's just whether his traits can transfer, the way he plays can transfer given his body size to the next level.
Yeah. No, absolutely. There's quite a bit in South Australia, perhaps, you know, didn't get a full crack at it, or when they did, obviously the team as a whole didn't perform as strongly. Mm. Obviously, McLaney's Crows father-son prospector,
yep.
So that's one for Adelaide fans to remember. Allies, a couple of players there you want to highlight?
Yeah, well, just on McLaney, you say one for Crows fans to remember. They'll tell you all about it. So they know him for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. for those who don't already know him.
Yeah. For the Allies, though, Tom McCallum's one who probably had that number 40 spot until I had my memory refreshed on a few others. But, yeah, a bit like Michelani, just quite a pacey athlete who can play aerial, intercept, and then just jet off and run. And he can run all day, so really good endurance base. And quite versatile in the sense that he played forward last year, I guess as a centre half forward or high half forward, and now he's a rebound intercept defender. So he's a pretty handy one. Jason Gilbey as well, the Bendigo Pioneers leader. Yeah, probably a wingman halfback, I think, at his best. But genuinely can play tall or small at either end of the ground or between the arcs. So he's been tried everywhere and a really great character. Obviously moved down from, I guess, a border town. But I think Balnarrald is how you say it, out in New South Wales. So, yeah, he's they love him at the Pioneers and he's had a good year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, on that 40, I can confirm he was in. But I was keen to get Harvey Gallagher, who he's only a few centimetres taller than me, in.
Yes, over McCallum, had to pitch
who
that
was,
one.
Yeah, who was quite a few more than, yeah, centimetres taller than
me. Than both of us,
moving
yeah.
on, yeah. No, good size. Well, they're both pretty decent, handy players, wherever they play.
Yep.
Victoria. We know you love them, so give us a bit of rundown into some of them that are here.
Let me just put this to bed. It's no coincidence that there's a lot of Victorian prospects, especially at the top end. You know, one team was undefeated through the national championships. The other one played off for it. So that's, I guess, why there's so many of them. We do see them up close, of course, as well, given we are based out of Victoria. But we try to be as fair as possible to everyone around the nation. In terms of prospects from there who missed out, Bailey McDonald, I think, is a bit of a bolter. Running half back or wingman who came back into Oakley's side at the end of the year and showcased his real run and dash and speed. On the outside, he also played for Vic Metro, so we know there's a bit of interest there and with the combine invite. Jackson Binns is a name who everyone would know about. His running capacity is great. Work rate, I guess, as that wingman or high half forward is fantastic. And you know, we saw in the NAB League Grand Final, he was one who really, I guess, gave us stuff. He was really having a crack and, yeah, a good effort player, probably just has a bit of polish to add. Hugh Bond's a little bit the same, except he's the inside type. So really clean at stoppages and crash and bash, physical. He was a national rower, I believe, as well. So a high-level athlete, and he's focused on his football, and that's good for us because he's quite the prospect, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with them. We did say we were going to expose rankings, for that. So no need to get too upset. We'll move on to quickly onto WA. You had one player here, another potential father son.
Well, he's not eligible,
but he is a father son.
Correct. Yeah, his dad did play for Fremantle. I think he was in the inaugural side there. Yeah. So Ed is quite a rangy and tall, I guess, utility in the sense that he's played on the inside once he got back into the Claremont team off the back of stress fractures in his back. But he's probably more suited to either a wing or maybe as that sort of third tall defender. So he's about 194 centimetres and got a good running capacity. Can probably work on his contested game given his size. But yeah, just has a bit about him. I think if you are that tall and a midfielder, you have to maybe he doesn't have the pace and explosive power that others might, but yeah, there's sort of traits that lend to a bit of versatility for him, which will help him, I guess, in a draft sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So that pretty much wraps up the power rankings segment, if you like. What we're going to do after the break is come back with, I guess, a bit of a Q&A. You've asked a lot of questions across our socials. We're going to answer them now. So we'll go to a break and be back with those. You're listening to the Final Siren Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Williams, here, of course, with the man behind the power rankings, AFL draft editor, Michael Alvaro. So after the power rankings dropped on Monday, we asked the audience perhaps what questions they would like to ask in relation to the power rankings. Obviously, in terms of, let's say, phantom draft related questions, that's going to come later. We'll discuss all that closer to the draft because as we speak, the AFL trade period and off season period is still happening. So draft picks are too difficult to work out apart from perhaps a kid called Will Ashcroft, who has never been mentioned on this podcast ever. Apart from someone like that, we know that, you know, it's going to be too difficult at this stage to try and work that out. We'll do that later. What we're now asking is those questions perhaps about prospects to get a bit, I guess, to know more about them. Mm-hmm. So what we'll just sort of do is I'm going to fire off some questions and Michael's going to answer them. So, or hopefully answer them.
As best I can. Tricky.
He did do the run sheet, so hopefully he knows what's coming. I guess we'll start off with sort of the age-old question. How do you sort of rate this draft in terms of, I guess, the quality, maybe top end, depth? Where do you sort of see it?
Yeah, I think the top end, you're going to find those quality players as usual. You know, if you're looking at or comparing to, I guess, previous or the one after, I think next year's draft is the really exciting one. And there's probably a few prospects in next year's draft crop that would feature in the top five this year. So that's probably a measure of it. There are obviously your Ashcrofts and your Wardlaws and some special players like Cadman and Cheezel, Jai Clark, list goes on. It probably becomes really even after that sort of 15. And, you know, even towards the back end of the rankings here with, you know, the 30s and 40s, it is quite even. You're probably going to get a few bargains in that range. So a few players might slide, divide recruiters with their potential and upside. So, I think there are some bargains to be had. It's probably not as bad as it might have been pitched. And there are definitely some good players at the top end as per, I guess.
Yep. You mentioned George Wardlaw. We had a great question coming through on Twitter. How much of a risk is it with George Wardlaw obviously having repeat soft tissue injuries, potentially taking him in the top five? I know you sort of decided to dive into a bit of history and check out some names that are similar, but I guess how much do you weigh up that risk versus reward?
It's probably not at the forefront of my focus when I'm doing rankings and whatnot. So I think the evaluation of the risk with those sort of injuries would be something that recruiters and clubs would definitely do their clubs will definitely look into. For George Wardlaw, obviously soft tissue at such a young age is probably more rare than those impact injuries and things like ACLs. So that might be a concern, and especially the fact that coming straight off one hamstring injury, he didn't last very long in his first game back and did another. So I think clubs would, obviously they're aware of that and they may ask the question. But in terms of the history of it, obviously this year we've seen guys like Braden George and Jack O'Sullivan with impact injuries this year, straight off, I guess, their return games, similar to George Wardlaw, and that might affect their ranking. So especially with Braden George, that ACL, that's such a long-term injury, and the commitment to a prospect with a potentially high pick in his case is always a risk. And you can even delve into some of the guys throughout history that we've seen have those injuries. So I know last year, Sin Chessa-Callaghan, but before that, who were a few that that sort of had caught your eye but had to really battle through?
Yeah, I mean, well, for started history, we're talking a few years ago. Geez, you don't want to make it sound like it's decades ago. But look, Georgiadis was one who obviously I remember was always a really exciting talent, but unfortunately just, couldn't really get out on the park, unfortunately. But that was more of a sustained sort of injury that just never really got over. So it wasn't quite a repeat injury. We know Dylan Williams is another example of someone who had a few injuries coming in, looked incredibly good in his bottom age year, but that final series, we talk about it, for anyone who's been listening for long enough, we know how good that final series as a bottom age was.
Historic final series from him.
Yeah. And speaking of finals, Jaden Stevenson wasn't too bad as well in finals. Unfortunately, of course, we know that's probably the more well-publicised, issue. It's injury. I don't know if you'd call it an injury, but obviously the heart complaint that was coming into the draft it blew up on the day, really, and the few days leading up that there were a lot of questions over him.
Yeah, so it's about risk as well, right? Mm. So a guy like Stevenson, you have that sort of heart condition that's learned about, and like Wardlaw, the question is whether you take that punt on a play, because it's such a big investment, and the risk was taken on Stevenson, and in his first couple of years of Collingwood, it really paid off, didn't it? So I think it'll probably be the same with Wardlaw. And then, you look down the list, because we do have a few written down here, as you might be able to see. But, even the ACL victims like Holland's Kemp, Max King, especially with high picks, it does come into the thinking. For me, though, it's probably not something at the forefront. You're more looking at the talent, right, what a player offers on field.
Yeah, that's effectively really what the rankings are. You're just judging of how you rate that talent versus the other talent. So, I guess in many ways injuries do come into effect, as we spoke last segment, because you're sort of saying that, I just haven't seen enough of them. So in that regard, they do potentially have an impact on your rankings, just perhaps not the same way that it would recruiters.
Yeah, and it also differs, we speak differently about Wardlaw's injury compared to Braden George or a Jack O'Sullivan, or even like Jasper Fletcher has a stress fracture in his foot. He hasn't played much footy after the champs. So, it's just about that exposure. We know how good George Wardlaw is because every time he has played, it's been at such a high level. But the other guys down the order, they've got that potential. It's just that, they haven't been able to hit the height. It's just you speak about it in a slightly different light. So,
Yeah, absolutely. Next question we had, does Bailey Humphrey have the most potential in the crop, really?
Yeah, not a bad question. I think when I hear the word potential or sort of think about who might have it most, you tend to look towards maybe the more raw types. I think he's raw in the sense of his sort of polish and finishing, but then you look at a guy like Matt Jefferson, for example, where he's so raw as a key position player. He's good as it is, but his upside suggests he could be so much better going forward once he sort of fills out and I guess enters the elite system. So, and then you sort of weigh Humphrey's talent up against like an Ashcroft and say, well, does Ashcroft have more potential because he's arguably a better player, or does Humphrey have more potential because he might grow more? So to answer the question in short, I'll probably put a no next to it, but it's definitely not emphatic because Bailey Humphrey obviously has massive potential and in my eyes a top 10 player.
So if a question with a no, obviously right now if you're going to say at the end of their careers in like 10, 15 years, if they played out as you expect, you would probably say Ashcroft or Wardlaw end up the best player, for example.
Yeah.
Much like last year with Horne Francis or Dacos, you'd say they're and that right now that's looking pretty emphatic compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
But if we look at this year's draft, if there was another player outside those two, or perhaps let's say outside the top five, because make it interesting, who would you say out of the top five, like outside the top five, is someone who could potentially, you say, in 10, 15 years, is the best player out of this draft that you'd be like, oh, wow, like, but yeah, could be. A
few good candidates. So on a technicality, because I put him to six, Jai Clark would be a wonderful choice. I think we compare him to Joel Selwood, obviously. Yeah. I think he could have that kind of career. Humphrey's a good shout as well because I think he's like Caleb Sarong. So if you look at how Caleb Sarong was rated in his draft year, he ended up being, pick eight? Just inside the top 10. And then you had guys like Raoul and Anderson right at the top who were your Ashcroft and Wardlaw, for example. Mm. So that might be a good comparison there. Outside of Clark, who I picked out, and obviously Humphrey from the question, I think Mateus Philippou has the potential to be right up there as one of the best players in this draft pool, just for his pure upside, the athletic ability, and then the football ability. He probably, hasn't had the pure football pathway exposure that a lot of other kids had because he's a basketballer. So, he's come from that and had to learn so much so quickly. And I think his development's been really strong. So that could carry on, I guess, once he hits the next level.
Yeah. And if he hadn't done his knee, Braden George could be one.
Yeah. Mate, he could have been in the top 10 for sure this year. So, but again, like him, we never got to see him in the midfield really. So that would have been another string to his bow. And just sort of adding that versatility to his game, because like, would you have a sort of lead up 186 centimeter forward as the best player in the crop?
Well, it depends what he ends up becoming though.
Yeah, like, but you know, I think, I mean? But like, that's his, yeah, that's what he is at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. But does he become like play that Dusty role, for example? Well, he could do future? Like, potentially then you go, well, would you argue Dusty at some point is the best player in the comp? Which, obviously you would, certainly from a finals perspective. So I agree with that. I actually think it will be Bailey Humphrey. I think I've said before that if he could clean up that kicking, I think he would be the best player.
He's got everything else, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, he's got those traits that are almost hard to master, like some of the stuff that he does for his size. So I actually think he probably would be if he could just finish that last aspect off.
Mm.
But moving on from that, because we did have a good discussion on that, next question is, obviously, Jasper Fletcher, you did touch on him. He's had the stress fracture, but he's in the All-Australian midfield, but wasn't in the top 20. Why?
Jeez, a bit of a loaded one. Not for any, specific reason. I just think, it's not like he was that far out of it. He was 23rd. So that question comes, obviously, I think that one was from Instagram, and our Instagram graphic shows 20. He's right there, Jasper. He's right on the precipice. He's, again, probably one player we just haven't seen that much of. So in terms of us, like, we watched him, obviously, early on in the year at NAB League level with the Brisbane Lions Academy, and then, getting into the Allies system, he played three games of four. So that's the sample size we've got. And obviously I rate him high enough to be, what, 23rd, I think. So, it's just you're splitting hairs, really. A lot of the players are quite even in their talent and ability around that range. So for Jasper, I wouldn't take it personally. And for whoever asked the question, I still rate him as a gun plays. If it weren't for a guy called Will Ashcroft, even like an Alwyn Davey, he'd be best father-son in the crop. So, yeah.
Aside from the two others that are playing, he'd be the best one. Okay.
Yes.
He's certainly got a nice trick with that sort of 55-metre running goal that we see quite often. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's probably the best at that one little very specific trait. But, exciting player. And I think, really, there's a lot to say about the Brisbane draft that's coming up. Very exciting time. If they can get them all somehow, they'll try and make it happen. Yeah. From Brisbane to Adelaide, Max Michelinie, we spoke about him before. You said Crows fans already know him, but you added the question to it anyway. They want to know how he's tracking. How is he tracking?
Yeah, I think he's going all right. Obviously, hit league level and got to play sample finals in the top flight. So, Norwood would have been happy to have him in. And again, he's that sort of two-way player in defence, in the sense that he can lock down but then run off. So that's really exciting for him. And I think the Crows would be really happy with how he's developing. Obviously, you probably don't want him to do too well, or else you're going to have to pay a hefty price for him. So I think he's probably one who will feature in that sort of 25 to 40 range. That might be where the bid comes in. But father-son's always slide. So, to answer the question simply, I think he's going well without having spoken to him personally.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm getting a sense of a theme here from some of the players we're getting questions about. I think they might be linked to clubs in some way. So is one of the next ones, but maybe not talked up as much. This is a question, a couple of players, former Rookie Me Academy athletes at some stage too. So yes. Might be a question from someone we know, but we'll have this question. Will Finn Emile Brennan and his Stingrays teammate Taj Campbell-Farrell, of course, Morrish medal winner Taj Campbell-Farrell, will they be picked up? Now, Emile Brennan, NGA, of course, so that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's tied to Melbourne, and I think that's a really good safety net for him. He's arguably shown enough talent to be in consideration anyway. Mm. Probably past the 40 mark, as our rankings would suggest, but he's so light, and probably has a lot of development left in him. But his kicking's pretty elite, and his role off half back is really well nailed down for him, and he played it superbly. So he's one who I think's in consideration to be picked up. Obviously, a guy like Taj Campbell-Farrell probably doesn't have the same flair and excitement factor, but you look at before his injury, which he ended up coming back from remarkably. He was so consistent. He ended up making our NAB League team of the year from that sort of first half of the season, where he was one of Dandenong's best players and a real mainstay for him. So there's never any guarantee, basically. But, they've done pretty much all they could to put themselves in the draft conversation. And, it'll be interesting to see, how far they go with their football, yeah.
Well, Campbell-Farrell won the Morrish, so he's not just Dandenong Stingray's best, he's the league's best player.
Correct, yeah.
From an umpire's perspective, in the umpire's eyes. And also, just as a fun fact, I don't think you could pick two more different players from what they offer. They're very, very different players.
Yeah, or even with the Morrish medal, Lachlan Cowan compared to Taj Campbell-Farrell, they're quite different too. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice segue.
You're welcome.
Yeah, next question. Who are the best prospects from Tasmania in 2022 and 23?
Yeah, well, this is a great question from a great Tasmanian. I think Big Cam Owen asked this one, wanting his own name out there. But, he's one who's got a combine invite, so that bodes well for him as a big 200-plus centimetre ruck. But in terms of the top-end Tasmanian prospects, hard to look past Lockie Cowan this year. Obviously, we know that Aside from him, you've got Tom McCallum, who we spoke of earlier, and even Seth Campbell's got a national combine invite. So he's a pretty nifty half forward slash midfielder who might come into the conversation both a bit later in the draft than Cowan. I think Cowan could even be like top 20 with a few clubs. He's just that good and has that much excitement about him. We all love watching him play. You know, when he picks a ball up for a kick in, I know you've got the trigger ready on the camera and I've got the binoculars up. So, yeah, he's exciting to watch.
He's going
to
win the longest kick
every year. Grand final day, yeah.
Every year, he will be the specialist longest kick.
He could just be a grand final day specialist. He'll do the sprint. He'll do the longest kick. He could even play. So
he'll kick it over the Yarra into the Murray, I think. That's how long.
We'll kick it across. Maybe we'll end up doing it sort of across Bass Strait, maybe, and you can kick it into his backyard. In terms of 2023, though, if we get back on track, Colby McKercher, probably the best Tassie kid. Really zippy midfielder. Can play both sides of mid as well. And Jack Callanan as well. A really, I guess, crafty small forward, the son of Ian. So a player from good pedigree and definitely one that's spoken about highly in that system. And Cam Owen, of course, we'll give a shout-out to as well once again. Obviously, the big ruck out there. He can play forward and pretty imposing sort of figure, either in the ruck or up forward. So, yeah, he's a handy one too.
Riley Sanders next year?
That is a yes from me. He is a great player. He's technically, yes, Tasmanian. Obviously, he's playing with Sandringham and boarding in Melbourne. So we'll put him in that category for the minute.
I like the way you say technically Tasmanian. Like, he is Tasmanian.
Well, he's definitely Tasmanian. Yeah,
Tasmanian. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Like,
well, do you want me to talk about Riley and give a bit more on him? Or?
I mean, feel free. If you want.
No, that's all right. We'll leave it there.
Obviously, he's someone who's moved over to Sandy. He's probably gone from being one of those top midfielders to one which has, like, a midfield that's got so much class and depth. Interesting next year, though, how much of a role he steps up, because you won't have those top enders of Ashcroft, McKenzie. I know Sandy will have quality in there, as they always do, but it probably gives him a bigger role.
Well, yeah. I mean, he'll be playing a lot of school footy anyway. So I think when he comes into the Sandy team, he'll have to be one of the number ones. And, you know, towards the back end of the year, if they end up making finals again and whatnot, which they usually do... yeah, he'll be one of the prime movers. But yeah, it is interesting that if he played for Tassie this year, he would have been at the centre bounces pretty much permanently. And alongside McKercher as well, pretty exciting couple of players. But yeah, it is that difference of, you know, having to be a sort of fourth string to Ashcroft, McKenzie, Houghton. Or, you know, the first or second.
The other one, of course, with the state combine invite this year, Brandon Leary. So with highlighting his name just quickly while we're talking about Tasmanians, obviously really clever goal sneak, pretty consistent throughout the year, one of the leading goal kickers in the NAB League.
Yeah, absolutely. And just so crafty inside 50. He was an overager. They were really excited to get in. Obviously performed really well at Tasmania State League level and deserved his spot in the Devils system and really took advantage of it and just looked really lively and made the most of his opportunities when they came.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's the end of that sort of segment. Before we wrap up, though, we're just going to briefly mention all the content that's about to happen over the next 2 months, because it is huge. So obviously, as we said, this is our last Final Siren podcast from a full edition, but we're going to have a lot of additional podcasts, pocket podcasts, as you know. So make sure if you've got any suggestions for topics to let us know, because we like to really go, direct with our topics if we can. Like, it could well be, you know, best key position player or best players from Tasmania. Maybe not that one. We've gone in depth now. But that's an example of sort of exact topics. If there's a question that you want to know that is an expansive topic that we can run through for, say, you know, 10, 15 minutes, just a shorter
and
version.
And even fun ones as well. I know a couple of years ago we were doing, you know, the
Cult Heroes,
and things like that, or, you know, plays with the best hairstyle or something like that. So, let us know. We'll do it.
Yep, unless it's the super boot, because it's Lockie Cowan.
It is. That is the answer.
There's no other correct answer for that. Other than that, obviously, aside from Pocket Podcast, we've got, you know, the last Power Rankings come up in November. That's going to be the big 50. That's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've got all the news currently on our site, all Australian team, all the MVPs, all that news across our socials. Make sure you catch it. And draft profiles, of course, going up every day, multiple ones each day running all the way to November. We're going to aim to have all the national and state combine draft profiles up. And they're also going to be in the draft guide.
They are, yeah, which is exciting. I just want to shout out all the writers that have contributed. So obviously, me and you have done a fair chunk. But yeah, Declan Reeve, Charlie McCormack, Hayden Narducci, Tom Wyman and Micah Hahn. Really, really good football analysts who just enjoy watching Pathways footy. And yeah, their profiles, I know from having had to read all of them, have been really good. So you'll get to see those all in the draft guide as well as on the website.
Yeah, absolutely. Got great team there, so it's going to be an exciting time. Yeah, that's
Ed Pascoe as well. Yeah, we have to mention him. He hasn't done one yet, but so Ed, if you're watching, get it done.
Absolutely, it's going to be an exciting time. We've all got a fair few to do, but it's going to be a really good time. Of course, our Christmas coming up just before the actual Christmas.
Yeah.
But yeah, so wrapping that up, draft guide coming out. We'll announce exact dates soon. But all the profiles coming out daily, as we said, every player with a combine invite will have something on them at least. And then, of course, draft night, we're going to have some exciting times. Of course, we're going to have some interviews and things like that over the next couple of months. Other than that, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's a big list and a lot to do in a short time, but we're going to get it done and make sure everything's at a high standard. So hopefully you all enjoy it.
Absolutely. So that's just about all we have time for today on the edition of the Final Siren podcast. So, Michael, thanks again for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to talk footy with you, mate. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. no, absolutely. So if you've got any suggestions on what you'd like to hear, as we said, Pocket Podcasts or any content you really want to see because we can do some articles on them going forward, make sure you let us know via our socials. I know a lot of you do, which is great. Obviously, in case you don't know already and you've just stumbled across this video by accident, hope you enjoyed. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, at Rookie Me Central. And then basically make sure you subscribe, hit the bell to stay tuned for any more videos that'll come up. We're going to have some player highlights as well. We've already got one up on Will Ashcroft again. he comes every 10 minutes or so on this podcast, I think, even when we don't mean to. But yeah, that's pretty much it for another episode, the final episode of the Final Siren podcast. Full one. Anyway, more to come. I've been your host, Peter Williams. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you'll join us again next time.